is a proposed resolution relating to the support of County Council to repeal the federal rule defining the waters of the U.S. In summary, this resolution offers the county support of H.R. 1732, which was described in last week's meeting, which is making its way through the U.S. Congress. It has passed the House of Representatives, and it is awaiting consideration in the U.S. Senate. In summary, this bill would urge Congress to repeal the final waters of the U.S. rule, and it states to compel the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to work collaboratively with local governments in developing reasonable regulations that continue to protect and promote clean water across the United States. And it further resolves the county administrator to send an official copy of this resolution upon adoption to Delaware's U.S. Senators Thomas R. Carper and Christopher A. Coons. Unless you have any questions about this resolution.
And John Carney was on board, right, with the the House.
That's correct. When the bill went through the House, John Carney voted in favor of
H.R. So it's passed the House. We're talking just directly. Okay, good. Correct. Maybe we want to send something thanking Mr. Carney for his position while we're at it.
So long as we say, you know, send notes when we disagree with him on other things.
Yeah.
Politics.
I will need a motion for your consideration to adopt the resolution as contained in the packet.
Pleasure, Council.
Well, yeah, I'll make a motion. We send that resolution.
Second.
Mr. Cole, second.
And Johnny come lately here. Sam Wilson will second it, right?
Mr. Wilson.
Well, any questions? You know, I was sitting here thinking we'd always voted on something like this.
What?
We're going to make it official. Okay.
Yeah. Any questions from council? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Well, I wish that I were better informed on this, and I have been studying it, and I've come to the conclusion that I have serious doubts about the repeal, so I will abstain.
Okay. Mr. Cole?
I'm studied up on it, and I'm going to vote yes.
There you go.
Mr. Arlett?
Likewise, yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No question, yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. Thank you. Next, sir.
Thank you. Next item is the wastewater agreement for Lewis Crossings. Containing your packet was a fact sheet on Sussex County Project 81-04, Lewis Crossing, aka Deep Valley Farm, Phase 4, agreement number 866-6. This is located on Route 9, north and south sides of Road 285, Beaver Dam Creek. Contained in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, system connection charges of $137,500. I have a proposed motion for your consideration.
Please read the motion.
Be it moved that are based upon the recommendation of the County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project number 81-04, agreement number 866-6. That the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Lewis Crossing Capital Partners, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Lewis Crossing, aka Deep Valley Farm, Phase 4, located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Pleasure, Council.
Do you need a motion for that?
Yes, we do.
I'd make that
motion. Motion, Mr. Deaver. Second. Mr. Arlett, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, we need it.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. The County Administrator's Report for June 16, 2015. I'm very excited to announce that Sussex County is joining a campaign called Motivate the First State, where all Delawareans have been challenged by Governor Markell to log 1 million miles by the end of 2015. This campaign encourages physical activity and healthy choices by rewarding participants with a direct charitable contribution to the Special Olympics of Delaware, Boys and Girls Clubs of Delaware, or the YMCA of Delaware. The initiative is sponsored by the Plus 3 Network, an online community designed to track and reward participants' physical activity. County employees, along with their friends and family, will join the Plus 3 Network and become part of the county team, where we can see each participant's activities. As the participant engages in an eligible activity, he or she earns credits known as kudos for the activities, which are converted directly into charitable contributions to the three selected charities. Any options are limitless, from running, walking, biking, to drinking water or gardening. Any healthy choice can earn you points. The campaign is free and costs the employees and the county nothing. Later today, every county employee will receive an email announcing the campaign and providing instructions to register. I've already registered and would encourage others to join me. Item number two, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County Conference Planning Subcommittee will meet on Wednesday, June 24th at 1 p.m. at the West Complex, 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. During the meeting, the committee will discuss planning for their annual conference scheduled for October 21st, 2015. Item number three, a reminder that council will not meet on June 23rd. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on June 30th at 10 a.m. And item number four, it's with great sadness that we note the passing of County Pensioner Gregory Jefferson on Wednesday, June 3rd. Mr. Jefferson began his career with Sussex County in April 1984 and retired from the Buildings and Ground Department as a custodial supervisor in May 2009. With 25 years of service, we'd like to express our condolences to the Jefferson family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings, Workers' Comp RFP Award.
Thank you, Mr. President. Last year, the county went out to bid for insurance coverage. We were dissatisfied with the $1,019,000 bid that we received for workers' compensation. We normally do a three-year contract after the bid is awarded. However, we decided it was best to go out to bid again this year using a broker RFP rather than a traditional insurance RFP in hopes to obtain more responses and options. We received two complete proposals that contain multiple options of coverage. Our incumbent insurance company, the Travelers Indemnity Company, submitted a guaranteed cost proposal and a small deductible proposal. AmeriHealth Casualty Services submitted a guaranteed cost proposal or large deductible proposal and a retrospectively rated proposal. Details of the proposals were included in your packet. It is my recommendation, as of that of Kathy Roth, Andrea Wall, Hal Godwin, and Ken Lebo from Pratt Insurance, that the county switch to AmeriHealth Casualty Services for guaranteed cost coverage in the amount of $713,000. This proposal is a decrease of $306,000 from this year. AmeriHealth was $147,500 less than the incumbent Travelers. Not only will our workers' compensation be handled by a reputable company, they will also be willing to provide us coverage for volunteers who are not covered under Travelers. And I have Mr. Ken Lebo here to answer any questions. I'm here to answer questions as well, and I also have a motion.
Any questions of council?
We're saving money.
Saving money.
You're saving money.
Read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council contract with AmeriHealth Services in the amount of $712,843 for workers' compensation for the period of July 1st, 2015 through June 30th, 2017, with an option to renew for an additional 2 one-year periods.
Good. I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
He did it again. I vote yes.
Mr. Cole.
Save us money.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. As always, I never repeat that. As usual, Mrs. Jennings, fine job to you and Mrs. Roth and your committee.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Mr. Hal Godwin.
Okay. Legislative
report.
Here we go.
Mr. President, members of council, I wanted to first remind you that the reports that I give you on a weekly basis, I would hope that you go through them in detail so that you get a look at each bill. I'm not going to take you through that at this point. There's 27 bills on this list. So I'm going to just focus on seven bills that I think are new, and I'd like you to give me some ideas on whether you want me to.
If you require a test in the following week.
There'll be a test on July 1st.
Okay, okay.
After the General Assembly has adjourned.
Okay.
Let me start off here. Well, I have seven bills that I want to discuss with you. The first one is House Bill 140. And House Bill 140 is on page 5 of your report. This is a relatively new bill. It was introduced in May. This bill increases revenue sources for the Transportation Fund. This one, I think you've already told me that we weren't in favor of it, but there probably isn't much I can do to stop this bill because this bill is coming from the administration. It's asking for certain increases in tags for your cars, motor fuel taxes, those kinds of things.
Right.
And it's already, I believe it's already passed one chamber. Yes, it's passed the House, and it's been released from the Senate committee from the bond bill. I expect the bill to pass both chambers. And I'm pretty certain that the governor will sign it because the governor was really, I think, instrumental in instituting this. Anyway, that's the first bill I wanted you to just look at and give me your feelings on it. Not that I can really deliver that much for you.
Mr. Godwin, Mr. President, may I?
Certainly.
And that is regarding specific to the Transportation Trust Fund. I know last week, Tuesday, I made some public comments regarding my observation, if you would, regarding Dover over the tenure of this Transportation Trust Fund. I'll use the term stealing from it to the tune of $2.8 billion. And it was also brought to my attention that they were looking at stealing yet again $40 million from this current fiscal year's budget, proposed budget, of doing the exact same thing so they can balance their budget. Is that an accurate statement? Are you aware of that?
The first number I heard was $50 million. Mm-hmm. The first time the governor spoke to us in Bridgeville at a SCAT dinner, he had proposed to take $50 million out of the trust fund. But I must tell you, you're right. It's a tradition. It's been done mm-hmm. by both parties. It's been done for many, many years. And it is a demonstration of the fact that sometimes there are people who think that this way of balancing the budget is not the best way.
Well, you know, as Sussex Countyans, and we all hear most of our concerns and complaints from our residents, that is with regard to the infrastructure. And the fact is that the Dover legislature and the governor over years is stealing from our infrastructure is unfathomable. It's just unbelievable, to be very honest with you. So this proposed increase of revenue is really just to put back in the bucket what they're stealing already, basically.
Yes. Short answer, yes.
So I don't know what we can do from this point, but I just wanted to get a clarification and comment from you in regarding that. So I just wish that Dover would learn how to say no outside of the Transportation Trust Fund and build our infrastructure here in Sussex County as needed.
You're beginning to learn that there are many things in Delaware that we Delawareans brag about. We're doing it the Delaware way because it's the right way.
This is one of the things that we do
in Delaware as the Delaware way that many of us don't agree with.
My comment is I think county council needs to learn to say no. If we didn't approve so much development without the infrastructure to go with it, we wouldn't have that problem. And I believe that it would be better for us to match the two and not overdevelop and expect the state to bail us out.
But then if we practiced that 30, 40 years ago, I guarantee you, three-fourths of the people that live in Lewis and their hope today would not be there. I guarantee you that, because you never build an infrastructure before the people move there. They don't even know they need the infrastructure. If you don't move there.
I'll add one other comment, if I may, Mr. President, and with respect to that comment, and that would be, it is a known fact from this council, at least I would presume that to be the case, that back in 1972, I believe the master plan of land use here in Sussex County that was proposed by the state of Delaware knew what was coming to Sussex County 40 years ago. 40 years ago, they knew the growth, they knew the infrastructure needs, and to this date, they have yet to accomplish any of those goals because, in my opinion, they have stolen $2.8 billion from the fund and have not been responsible. So they knew it was coming, and they've chosen not to address it.
I'm going to say something to that.
So,
the other counties, I'm sorry, do you have the floor? The other counties have recognized that you need to link your development up with available infrastructure or infrastructure that is well on its way to come in the very near future. And I believe if we did that, I think we would be we wouldn't be asking the state to bail us out.
Moving right along, Mr. President.
Please.
On page six.
I'll let it go.
Let's move on.
Let it go.
On page six, I just want to point out to you that House Bill 151, our bill to have our sewer approval dates moved from 30 days to 90, is moving along nicely. It's passed the House, and I believe it has a lot of support in the Senate. I'm pretty sure we're going to get that bill passed. Next bill that I wanted to point out to you is House Bill 171, and that is on page 7. House Bill 171 is a bill that we need to take very seriously, and I would like to get an opinion from you today on this one. I'll just quickly go through the synopsis with you. This bill establishes a telecommunications tax moderation review group to study and make recommendations for establishing a future funding mechanism to replace the property tax on telecommunications equipment and addressing the projected decrease in revenue to the counties, municipalities, and school districts for the transition to new technologies throughout the state, from the transition to new technologies throughout the state. The resulting mechanism should be revenue neutral to localities and competitively neutral to providers of like services to encourage investment in broadband infrastructure. This bill also caps the amount of tax on telecommunications equipment as per fiscal year 15 rates and eliminates the tax as of June 30, 2018. Now, Mrs. Jennings, again, has been good enough to do a quick calculation for us. And if this bill passes in 2018, our income will go down by $1,714,000. Not to mention the school taxes will go down by $5,420,000. So we would like you to give me direction as to what position you'd like me to take in your representation about this bill. Now, just a little bit of a sidebar on this movement. We all know that there are more cell phones today than there ever were, and there are less wired phones. Some of this equipment, the telephone poles and the wires and the transformers, are coming down anyway over time. So we're going to see this tax erode because we're not going to be able to tax the cell phones, or we haven't taxed them yet. So some of this infrastructure tax is going to eventually go away over years, but not in 3 years. This bill would take this thing to zero in 3 years. So we do need to think about the income that we're going to lose someday in the future on the hardwired telephone and other communication equipment that we currently tax as property. And there has also been a study committee established, just what this bill propends to do. We've already had two of those. I served on one and Gina served on one, and neither one of those committees has ever been able to fix anything, because the facts of the matter are there are two companies. One's being taxed and one is not. That's an inequitable imbalance in our system. But without the income stream being replaced, it makes it very difficult for a municipality or a county to just write off that much income. So I'm hoping that you'll give me some orders today.
I would hope there's nobody up here at this dais that would be in favor of this bill.
It doesn't sound good to me, but I'm interested in the broadband portion of this. It's kind of couched in terms of this helps with the broadband service. That's what I heard. I'm sure I didn't hear it right. Could you explain that?
Well, all I can tell you is that as telecommunication is being removed off of hardwired infrastructure,
right,
our tax base is going down.
I understand.
And we recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
But this bill would have us giving up all of that tax income in 3 years. So.
But there's no relationship to broadband service. I heard the word.
Well, the broadband service is where this communication is going.
Yes.
Okay, and currently we don't have any way of taxing that.
Yes.
So
all right.
There needs to be
all
a replacement.
Right. I'm looking for anything that helps get this broadband service
hooked up. This is not going to hurt
this
that.
This is not it.
No, this is about taxing the hardwired
Let's
infrastructure
not do that.
That's
so,
in place.
Mr. Godwin,
yes,
Mr. President, one quick question, may I, sir?
Certainly.
And that would be, I'm still a little confused on this as it relates to, you know, as technology evolves and we go to and I guess the taxation of the telecommunication equipment, because the equipment is being less and less and less, and there's less to tax.
We tax that as property.
Correct, currently. But as those items continue to come off of our grid, if you would, because it's changing, this would force that. Bottom line is that this current equipment that will be there in 3 years will still be there potentially, but we're not going to obtain the tax revenue anymore.
If this bill passes, we won't be able to tax it at all after June 30, 2018.
And what's the purpose of them doing this?
They're trying to settle the argument between these two vendors, Verizon and Comcast. I believe Verizon is taxed and Comcast is not. And that has a long history of how that happened. It happened 35, 40 years ago, how one was taxed and one wasn't.
I didn't realize it.
And I didn't want to take up your time here today getting you through all of that. But
right,
say it today, there are two companies providing the same thing. and one is being taxed and one is not. And we, everyone understands that's not fair.
Right.
But rather than solve that, they want to just kill the tax altogether, and it's us that will wind up picking up the bill, and the schools.
So is the one that's being taxed, you, I guess you said it was Verizon?
Verizon's taxed, yes.
They're the ones that are, I presume, is very supportive of this, because they would no longer be taxed?
They helped write the bill.
Yeah.
Why we support exactly.
Sometime you have 30 minutes, I'll tell you where Verizon came from and where Comcast came from. Then you know how this happened.
It came from New Jersey.
There you go.
Probably so.
Everything.
Mrs. Jennings, any comments from you on this, or you're just...
I just want to make it clear. We would lose $165,000 from the county as our portion. Majority is the schools, and I have contacted them, letting them know.
How much would they lose?
They would lose $1,169,000 plus $101,000 for Sussex Tech. So it's a total of $1.4 million for the government, the Sussex County government, and the schools together.
Okay.
Mr. President. Sorry to jump in. On Friday, my counterpart in Newcastle County circulated some email correspondence among the three counties, and Newcastle County weighed in at that point because it was moving pretty quickly that Newcastle County would be in opposition for the loss of revenue as well. We conveyed what we would lose based on Mrs. Jennings' predictions, and I believe Kent Levy Court is going to consider this legislation tonight, and I don't believe they would be in favor as well.
Right. I'm going to make a
resolution?
Wild assumption.
Wait, he's going out on a limb, everybody.
Wild assumption that tomorrow in Dover at 3 o'clock you will be at the committee hearing.
I certainly will.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm going to express
our displeasure.
Should we have to have a resolution on that?
That one's done. No, I don't need that. That one's done.
All right.
So what's the average per household?
I think that's the direction.
We say
that was the direction.
Average household.
Be there tomorrow.
Per, what do you actually save in taxes?
I don't have that number for you.
The household itself doesn't get taxes, mm-hmm. the infrastructure. So this has no effect on the household taxes.
Mm-hmm. Where'd the money come from?
Well, that's what would happen. We would have to absorb
from
somewhere else.
Utilities.
So where's Verizon get the money from?
From the customers.
Well, that's what I'm going back to.
But do you think they're going to lower their fees?
I didn't do that math, sorry.
I didn't.
What do you suppose they'll do? Just
well, they can't put it down, they don't get cut, that's for sure.
And 5 seconds, Mr. Godwin.
Yes,
Comcast is below the ground, Verizon is above the ground. Is that what we're talking about here?
I don't think that's all. I don't think
there's more to it than
standard.
That.
There's a little more to it.
There's
than
more
that.
To it, okay.
Yeah.
It all goes back, I think, real quick. It all goes back years ago where Comcast was strictly cable television.
Right.
Now they provide phone.
Right.
And internet.
Does Verizon.
Right. And Comcast was AT&T, telephones.
Free, okay. Free market. They can right. They can figure it out.
The next bill I wanted to go with you quickly is Senate Bill 112. This act fulfills a recommendation of the Joint Sunset Committee that the Delaware Economic Development Office be required to develop a comprehensive state plan for economic development every 5 years and submit annual reports detailing the office's status in meeting its vision, goals, objectives, and strategies. It's already passed the Senate. It was introduced on June 3rd, passed the Senate on the 11th, so it's moving quickly. It sounds like to me a bill that would possibly benefit everyone because you would know what and where the Delaware Economic Development Office is planning and trying to do, and are they achieving their goals? And so it's going to be a report type thing that would help all the rest of us see where the state stands on its economic hopes. So there's that one. Senate Bill 130 is the next one I wanted to go over with you. This bill is being promoted by DLDOT, but I want you to understand that this bill, the synopsis sounds a little more aggressive than the bill really is. It really doesn't require anyone to do anything. It's one of those empowering, enabling bills. This bill defines criteria for any local government to promote economic development by entering into an agreement with the Department of Transportation to create transit-oriented development districts called Complete Community Enterprise Districts. Complete Community Enterprise Districts may be designated in downtown or urban core areas, traditional towns or villages, or regional activity centers. They are characterized by their mix of land uses, efficient use of public infrastructure, efficient use of public services, and multiple modes of public transportation combined with environmentally friendly private transportation. I haven't I haven't worked on this bill. I haven't been to any of the meetings or hearings because it just sort of sounded kind of neutral as to how it might impact us, particularly as our government functions. It doesn't imply anything on your land use decisions. It simply would empower any jurisdiction in the state that wanted to join DLDOT in an agreement to set up one of these development districts. They would. This is the mechanism to do that.
Mr. President, may I?
Yes, sir.
Shall we assume that this quote-unquote agreement would have a monetary attachment to it?
It may or may not. It doesn't say. It's not spelled out in the bill.
So from your guesstimation, from reading this, what is your take of it and what would be the motivation?
Well, I think it's DLDOT would like to have this as a mandatory in certain areas, but they know that won't fly. So if they can get something that's voluntary put in place, then they can, if they can get someone to use it and it turns out to be a success, now in future years they may have a strong argument for making these part of comprehensive plans or making them part of certain towns' charters. DLDOT might have, if this program were to be successful, they would have developed a track record that would give them impetus for future movements. But I don't think it would have any effect on our land decisions today, and I've already discussed this with our new certified planner, Janelle, who's in the room. And if you'd like to hear from her, she's here and prepared to discuss this with you if you'd like to take a few minutes with her.
I'll take your word and her word for it.
It's feel-good legislation. It's like that smart growth. It makes you feel good that you're doing something. Okay. Probably looks good in the textbook, looks good on paper, but...
There's no fiscal note attached?
No.
And it'll be something that's on their wish list, but like I said, it's just feel-good stuff.
But I misunderstand. Isn't it a regional transportation management program?
Well, it could be. Uh-huh. It could be as small or large as the parties wanted it to be.
It'd be
right.
Anything.
Right.
This bill defines criteria for any local government to promote economic development by entering into an agreement with the Department of Transportation.
Right.
So like mm-hmm. Mr. Cole said,
we can do it or not do it.
If let's suppose Lewis were to embrace this and they took one section of their town and they made them one of these districts with DLDOT and they worked all these wonderful things and everybody was happy, then DLDOT and Lewis would both be able to hold that flag up and say, gee, look at this, folks. Maybe you ought to try this over in some other town or some other county. So I think it for DLDOT, it's an experiment. I think they're trying to establish.
Sounds like planning to me.
Yeah.
Which is a good word.
Planning, yeah. You may be right. Okay? Okay, so that's that bill. I just wanted you to see that one and give me feedback if you want. Now, the next one I wanted you to look at also is Senate Bill 130.
You just did 130.
I just did 130. Sorry. That was 130.
We're paying attention.
Okay. Sorry. I'm out of step here.
Are we moving too fast for you?
Yeah. Senate Bill 113. Now, Senate Bill 113 and... Senate Bill 30.
13, that's been DuPont Highway.
Senate Bill 113 and Senate Bill 120 are two that confuse me a bit because they're very similar. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong. 113 and 120 look very, very similar and they're very lengthy. But I don't think there's anything to fear in them. Let's go through the first one. Senate Bill 113, the Regulatory Transparency and Accountability Act of 2015. Improves Delaware's regulatory environment for individuals and small businesses in several significant ways. First, the Act improves transparency by requiring each agency to submit a regulatory impact statement. Now, I won't read you the whole, I won't sit and read the whole thing to you, but basically these two bills require state agencies like DNREC and DLDOT and agencies like fire marshal agencies that if they promulgate a new regulation, which many times they do based on some ordinance, some code was just changed. A bill may pass, the legislature gets signed by the governor, says there will be XYZ established. So DNREC then has to go to their mode of having public hearings and setting up regulations. These two bills govern how those regulations are set up. And it also, as I read them, the regulatory impact statement is the key statement in the first bill. In the second bill, their key words are regulatory flexibility analysis. Both of these bills are designed at making sure that we and the people of Delaware know how these new regulations will impact us, and are they the absolute best solution that was assigned to them in developing these regulations. So I see both of these bills as healthy. Senate Bill 113 and Senate Bill 120, they're worded very similarly, but they're requiring state agencies to be accountable mm-hmm. for regulations that they draw up and to make sure they were the best possible solution. So I think we're neutral on that, but I just wanted to mm-hmm. run those by you. And if you read into them anything that I missed, please let me know.
No, it's harmless.
Sounds good.
But I wanted you to know about those. Okay. Mm-hmm. Senate Bill 124 is the last bill that I wanted to just go over with real quickly. This bill expands the number of trustees of the Delaware Ag Land Preservation Foundation from 12 to 13. The additional trustee must be an individual actively engaged in farming or some other form of agribusiness who may reside in any county of the state. In connection with the above, this bill also increases from 6 to 7 the number of trustees required to a quorum. Not a big deal, but since it's a direct ag bill, I wanted you to see it. I didn't see anything in the bill that would harm the function of this board. I think that they'll still do what they've been doing.
The only thing that could harm it is Sam Wilson got nominated to be that 13th.
Are you going to say anything, Hal, about the Sam Wilson resolution they passed?
Yes, right.
Yes.
What is it?
Good.
House Concurrent Resolution 40?
Yes, I'm going to do it right now.
Okay.
I have one bill for you that has not moved much yet. It's just been introduced a few days ago, and this is House Concurrent Resolution 40. It was brought to you by State Representative Rich Collins. Mm-hmm. Seeking to address the pervasive problems of littering and illegal dumping in Delaware, brought to our knowledge by Sam Wilson, this concurrent resolution would create the Delaware Anti-Dumping and Anti-Littering Task Force. The task force would be charged and defining the scope of the problem, developing actionable strategies for curtailing it, and delivering a report to the General Assembly as to how these policies could be implemented and financed. The task force will be required to issue its report no later than March 15, 2016. This bill is introduced on the 10th of this month, as I said, sponsored by Rich Collins.
That would increase the size of government.
Yes, it would. He's a big government man.
Did you read that? Did you hear that?
Yeah. A task force. Where is that going to come
another
from?
Another useless task force,
yeah.
Huh?
Well, anyway.
Play them all the time.
In other words, you're in favor of throwing more trash at you and do nothing about it.
I'm not. Yeah, Sam. I'm in favor of you, Sam.
I vote for you. I passed out one bill that is really not a bill yet. It's a draft. This bill has not been introduced yet, so it doesn't have a number. And this bill is designed to affect only municipalities, not counties. But this bill, if it were passed, would give municipalities the ability to regulate people carrying guns into their council chamber or into their buildings. Many of the towns feel very strongly about this, and the Delaware League of Local Governments is solidly behind this legislation. The reason I bring this to your attention is that if you have an interest in this type of legislation, we will need to have a bill drafted especially for counties, because the counties are in Title IX, where the towns are in Title 22. So this bill, we couldn't piggyback on this bill, but we can get a bill drafted similar to this.
Well, let's just see how that one turns out.
Right.
Kent Levycourt last Tuesday supported a resolution that would support expanding the authority for counties to have the discretion to pass a local ordinance on the ability to regulate firearms in their buildings. So Kent's in support. They've passed a resolution that would support this initiative.
There has been some concern upstate. I haven't heard anything of anything below the canal, but there has been some fear instilled in local officials by people entering their council chamber with open carried weapons, and they can't regulate it because they're not allowed to in state code. So this bill would give them the ability, would remove that and allow them to set up regulate, but it's an opt-in bill. The towns that want to join in can just pass it internally, and then they can regulate the carrying of open weapons in their council chamber or in any of their buildings. So it's not going to completely abolish the law. It just says if you want to, you can opt into it.
It'd be like a saloon where they'd have to check their guns at
the door.
Well,
you certainly can't wear a leg all.
Oh, no. No. You can't carry your penknife in leg all.
I'm sure you know. You have to ask yourself, why would anybody need to bring a gun in our council chambers?
Well, that's where the fear and the caution is coming from.
Always.
I don't know. I'm not saying.
I am always carrying.
I got one question for you.
Yes, sir.
Packing heat.
And I know this is probably a... Is there any potential work on HB 85, our tax intercept bill?
This year it hasn't moved as far as it did last year.
I saw that.
Last year we had it out of the House by now and over in the Senate committee, and by mid-May I was fighting in the Senate to get it out of committee. It hasn't been on the House floor yet.
I know.
Why?
Well, I suspect because the House floor has been bogged down with financial issues. And they just haven't. There are a number of bills that are good bills.
No priority.
That have a lot of support across the room, but they can't get them on the floor.
They've got too much money to worry about anything else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a mechanism to get more money.
The schools, yeah.
I mean,
doesn't that really require more employees?
I agree.
Hello.
Go get this mic.
One last question?
Why are you going to get it?
Wait a minute. Mr. Wilson's question is, how would we get? How many employees have you got to hire to do this?
To collect this money. If this is passed, we got somebody to collect this money.
Which one? 85? We have people in place. We're doing it now. We're collecting delinquent.
I understand that.
We're chasing money all the time.
So what, by passing this bill, how's that improve it?
It's going to improve it in that if someone owes us property taxes and they get an income tax refund from the state, we can take the tax refund.
we can't
do
that now.
We can't do that.
Nope.
Can't do it now.
This bill would allow us to take that tax refund.
Okay. In other words, we want to take their tax.
It would only be for all we'd be able to intercept would be tax refunds from the state to the taxpayer, and that taxpayer has to have not just due taxes, delinquent taxes. Mm. So they have to be behind with us, and then we can take that state tax.
Also got to own property.
Well, they also have to get a refund to get the money.
They can't.
If they don't get a refund, you don't get your money.
A lot of these people owes us money.
Yep.
Actually, does not own their property.
That's right.
You're correct. They own a taxable vehicle.
Something's taxable. Yeah.
Something.
Thank you,
Hal.
I did have one quick question, Mr. President.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Godwin, any update on the right to work legislation?
It's not going anywhere.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Brad Whaley.
I didn't want to work anyway.
USDA Housing Preservation Grant. Come on down here, my friend.
Good afternoon, Council. Thank you for allowing me to come before you today. The reason I'm here is to request your permission to apply for the USDA Housing Preservation Grant. This is a small program that we've used for over the past 25 years to help residents. It's actually designed to assist very low-income residents. So we're talking household incomes with one person around $13,000, $14,000. So I come every year. Last year we were able to help actually 7 households, and we try to focus these things on really crucial issues like handicap ramps, accessibility issues, heaters, and that sort of thing. So I do have a resolution. Okay. Whereas the Sussex County Council resolves to apply for a housing preservation grant from the rural services authorized by Section 533 of the Housing Act of 1949, as amended by Section 522, and whereas Sussex County has met the pre-application requirements of the housing preservation grant, and Sussex County is eligible to submit the application for such grant through the Rural Housing Services as stated in the Policies and Procedures Instruction Manual, HPG Part 1944, subpart N. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Sussex County Council endorses the pre-application to rural development for the HPG funds in the total amount of $25,000 to be administered as follows: $20,000 for housing rehabilitation grants, $5,000 for administration, and be it further resolved that Sussex County Council that Todd F. Lawson, County Administrator, is authorized to submit the above mentioned process to the Rural Housing Services for funding.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Questions on the resolution? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, go for
Cole.
It.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
We have motion carried. Thank you, sir. Rob Davis.
Not here.
Davis.
Oh, there he is. My God, that was quick.